In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
How come when I have guest speakers, we have more attendance than when I get up to speak? Did you notice that? I'm getting a little worried about this. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, I ask for your blessings on this message, wherever it might go. I pray that you direct me in the right words to speak, that they might be able to be brought out to the people in the land. We might have our eyes open this one area that's before us today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a song that sometimes comes to my mind when I'm trying to prepare a sermon. Maybe you remember it. It's an old song. What you gonna do when the well goes dry, honey? Honey? You ever remember that song? What you gonna do when the well goes dry, babe? Let's sing it, shall we? No. Well, you know, sometimes when a preacher's trying to prepare a sermon, he dips the old bucket down in the well and he comes up dry. He doesn't have anything. And that's where I was at just, about 7-8 hours ago, it seems like. And I was frantically trying to figure out, what in the world am I going to preach on this Sunday? It seemed like I come up dry, and then I begin to reflect back on this week, and I had an incident that took place just recently because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. We flew our flag in a particular manner, which caused a particular incident, which I'll share with you. As I choose to share this message with you, I realize that I've never preached on Martin Luther King Jr. You know, he's the only individual other than presidents of the United States as an American to have been honored with a national holiday. And I can reflect back in, about the spring of 1968. I was going to different churches with my wife. We were taking our little family to church, trying to find a church home, trying to find truth. And that was shortly thereafter, it seemed like, I told my wife, I said, honey, you're not going to get me in another church building. I couldn't find anything that made any sense. You go to these churches and they stand up and they read out their little psalm book and they recite the thing. The only thing I really enjoyed in those churches when in the song was at the very end they'd always sing, amen. You know, I just always like to bell out the amen part. You know. Never got much out of the church, but I do remember this one particular Sunday in the spring of 1968, shortly after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., that this preacher said something to this effect. We're all responsible. We're all guilty of his death. And I can remember that one particular portion of the sermon. I don't think I remember anything else of most of those sermons that you went to. But I remember that because it made me angry. Because as far as I was concerned, I had nothing to do with it. I was in Colorado when it took place. And so I never dreamed that someday I would be preaching. I used to didn't want to do have anything to do with preachers, and now I are one. But I decided I, too, shall discuss this thing on Martin Luther King, Jr., because I think many of the preachers that preach the social gospel have talked about this individual. I decided to title this message, Beware of Martin Luther King Day. Or maybe I should say it this way, Beware of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Now before you get angry with me, let me share a scripture with you. It's found in Matthew the 7th chapter. And I might say that this sermon is going to be made also edited and put into radio messages and will be preached on our national radio ministry. And thus, you'll begin to understand why I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. Because most of all you're going to hear here will be heard on the radio airwaves. Now, starting in Matthew the 7th chapter, verse 12, he says, Jesus speaking here, Therefore, however, you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Now, I'm going to stop there a second, because those aren't particularly the verses I want to deal with, but we'll just look at them a second. What's he saying here? Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry with the word reverend in front of him is going to make it through the pearly gates, as they call it. Isn't that what he's saying? You know, we have the philosophy today, just about anybody will make it, except maybe some real, real bad guy. Jesus said, not very many. Narrow and few are the words that you see here. But I want you to center in with me on verse 15. In light of the title of this message, he said, Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree, bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now those are the words of Jesus Christ. Beware of false prophets. Beware of the outward appearance. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. once said this, quote, Men should be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, end quote. And not too bad a quote, I might add. Really, it's right in harmony with the words of Jesus here in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Didn't Jesus say, don't judge the cover or judge the book by the cover. Don't judge by outward appearance. You know, he said many of them appear as sheep, but they're actually wolves in sheep's clothing. So what he was saying here was right down the line with what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had to say. You just don't judge a man by his skin color, but by the content of their character. You know, I get a real kick sometimes out of these people that talk about blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, blonde hair, blue eyes. They got blonde hair, blue eyes. Like having blonde hair and blue eyes really do something for you. And I got that reflecting on that. I thought about all the places I travel across this country and the audiences. I see very few blonde haired, blue eyed people. You know that? Now, I was blonde haired when I was a kid. And at this stage in life, I'm just thankful to have hair. And it's not blonde. But you don't judge someone because they got blonde hair and blue eyes. You know, we got a lot of people that have gotten the wrong idea in regards to the Israel message and who Israel is. It takes a little more than genes to be acceptable before God. Amen? A lot of people don't like that. But Jesus said, you don't judge outward appearance. The outward appearances will fool you sometimes. That's why you'll find a scripture like this in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, how can you put that in a paraphrase form? Don't let someone make a saint for you. You see, Congress cannot make a beautiful prophet simply by a proclamation. Amen? And just because Congress has said, we're going to have a national holiday, the Bible says, test the spirits. Check it out yourself. Because, why? There are many, many false prophets in the world. Now, I want to say this, and you might have gotten the wrong idea already because of the title of the message, Beware of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. But I want to say this, I want to be very explicit about it. I do not intend to say one solitary bad thing about Dr. Martin Luther King. I am not going to say anything bad about that man. Do you think I'm crazy? Do you realize what can happen to you? Should you even infer that maybe this man wasn't exactly what the media has made him out to be? For example, about a year ago, it is reported that a teacher in Maryland suburb, in a Maryland suburb close to Washington, D.C., she was having a private conversation with another associate, and she said that she wasn't enthusiastic about this national Martin Luther King holiday because she had heard that he'd had some communist affiliations. Now, this was just a casual remark, which was overheard by a sixth grader. Do you know what happened to this lady? Well, this lady was reported to the school officials. She had to take a human relations course to, quote, clean her brain of impurities. And then she was transferred. And on top of that, and you say, well, this is America, man. You can say what you want. Oh, really? You got to be real careful what you say these days. You see, you say, well, we've got men that have died for the right to stand up and say your piece. Yes, we have, but we have betrayed those men. We have betrayed their blood because there are Sunday things today we're not allowed to speak on. And this lady found out this was one of them. You can't even question it. They transferred her, and that wasn't good enough for the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of White People. Excuse me. National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. This is what a spokesman from the Montgomery County NAACP said. His organization was, quote, very dismayed that a school system employee would be so insensitive and would express such a lack of knowledge by uttering such a statement regardless of whom she said it to. Now understand, she didn't say this to a student. God forbid, you know, that we teach our students anything but to honor Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, we are asking that she be fired if the allegation is proved true. If she were a typist, it wouldn't be so important, but she is mouthing unforgettable kinds of falsehoods that pollute young minds, end quote. Yes, they said, that's not good enough that you send her through a human relations course to clean out the impurities of her mind. It's not good enough that you transfer her and that you reprimand her. We want her fired! Why? Why even question the integrity of Dr. Martin Luther King? So I'll guarantee you, I'm not saying a word bad about this guy. Not a word. Look at Senator Jesse Helms. He found out what happens. You know, the Senate debated on whether or not to make the national holiday in honor of Mr. King or not. They started on October 3rd, 1983, in the debate lasted to about the 18th or 19th of that month. Now, Helms in the debate was an opponent of Dr. Martin Luther King Day. And he had a thick book, about 6,500 pages, I think, of the FBI reports on King, and he accused him of, quote, action-oriented Marxism, end quote. This is what Helms said. Do you realize what happened to him? The media came down on him like ugly on an egg, like a bird on a worm. And this is what they said. Here's one. Edward M. Yoder Jr., he was writing in the editorial pages of the Los Angeles Times. This is what he said. Quote, but depend on Helms to contaminate a serious argument by debating points from the gutter. On the Senate floor, he resurrected the indecent carnades of the 50s and 60s, including the ridiculous charge that they were inspired by Marxist-Leninism, end quote. Earlier in the same column, Yoder said this, quote, King was a prophet, a good man of good works, a thoroughly wholesome influence on American life, and the years may someday ratify the few that he should stand with Washington and Lincoln, end quote. By the way, you know, it took about 80 years after George Washington died to even have a national holiday for him. Did you know that? Didn't take that long for Dr. Martin Luther King. By the way, forgive me, I do have a religious conviction. I don't call men reverends. I don't want people to call me reverend. You'll find that term only used once in the Bible, and it refers to God. And I'll guarantee you there's nobody reverend besides God. They all put their pants on one leg at a time. And so, excuse me if I don't call him reverend. And I'll guarantee you most of the preachers today aren't reverends. A few lines later, the editorial condemnation of Senator Helms declared that, quote, his disgraceful gutter snipe tactics in the King debate set a new low even for him. Here's another one. In the syndicated column dated October 24, 1983, Mike Royko characterized Helm as this, quote, embarrassment from North Carolina, who is nothing but a thick-headed, small-minded, ignorant, bigoted, racist bumpkin, end quote. How would you like to be called a narrow-minded, bigoted, racist bumpkin? Not me. I'm not saying anything bad about Dr. Martin Luther King. The Los Angeles Times said that Helms, quote, charged that King was a Marxist-Leninist, or at least a Marxist, on all available evidence. False and much evidence is available. The fact that the FBI watched King so closely and never found evidence suggesting that he was a communist shows rather conclusively that Helms' charge is false. Now, here's another example. You all heard about Governor Meekum? The Honorable Governor... Oh, I guess I can't say honorable, can I? Just Governor Meekum. The governor in Arizona talked about the homosexuals. Can you imagine that? He's talking about homosexuals just like the Bible does. What kind of bigot do we have over there in Arizona? But he also talked about Martin Luther King, and he didn't want to have that particular day honored. And this is what Tom Fitzpatrick of the News Times said. This is a Phoenix Weekly. And this is what Fitzpatrick said. Meekum is, quote, a Neanderthal, a national buffoon. He is an ignorant, bigoted, opinionated jackass. If he weren't governor of Arizona, serious-faced men with white coats would be speaking soothing words into his ear and giving him tranquilizers. And it is not only Meekum, it's the whole crew of advisors he's assembled. It's like the crew of a pirate ship that runs away with state government. They all have such bespotted backgrounds that you would expect that they'd all be wearing eye patches and wooden legs just like Long John Silver's crew. You see, what we have here in Arizona is a man tragically unsuited to the office he holds. End quote. Now this is what can happen to you. You know, makes you begin to realize why Jesus didn't just get down on the Pharisees. He always said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees. Because the Pharisees couldn't carry on their political rot and corruption without the assistance of the scribes. And it makes you wonder if we don't have scribes today. But I'm not going to say anything about the media either. I did say that once. I've had more of my share of experiences with the media. As you know, we've had reporters right here in this congregation taking pictures of me as I preached. Not very many churches in this county can say that they've had different television channels come in and film their services. So I've had some experiences with the media. And here a while back, I said to one reporter, I said, well, I want you to know I love you. I think we are to love God's people. But I says, I don't trust you, and I think of you as just a hair lower than a prostitute. And later I reflected on what I said, and I felt bad, and I know I really need to apologize to prostitutes. How can you say that, preacher? Prostitutes. Well, let me share with you what a John Swinton once said. Now, this man was retiring, and it was at a dinner party in his honor. John Swinton was the editor of the New York Times, of the New York News. And at the annual dinner of the American Press Association in 1914, this is what John Swinton said, quote, "There is no such thing as an independent press in America. If we expect that a little country, if we accept that of little country towns. You know this, and I know it. Not a man among you dares to utter his honest opinion. Were you to utter it, you would know beforehand it would never appear in print. It is the duty of a New York journalist to lie, to reveal, or to revile, It is the duty of a New York journalist to lie, to revile, to toady at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread, or what amounts to the same thing, his salary. We are the tools and the vassals of the rich behind the scenes. We are marionettes. These men pull the strings and we dance. Our time, our talents, our lives, and our capabilities or capacities are all the property of these men. We are intellectual prostitutes." End quote. Now, this is a man that was retiring from the occupation. You notice that if you ever begin to say anything, or notice that these men, whenever they begin to even question anything about Dr. Martin Luther King, that all of a sudden, the facts aren't dealt with. Senator Helms was running around with 6,500 pages from the New York, from the FBI files. He's saying, look, and what are they saying? They're saying, you are a racist. You are a bigot. Or they say, man, this Meekum, if he wasn't a governor, he ought to be in the nut house. They say he's something mentally wrong. Well, how does that happen? You know, there was a former communist who's dead now who released the teachings that he'd received from a Leventa Berea. Now, the Leventa Berea had given a lecture to American students that were attending the Lenin University in 1936. The book that I brought to the pulpit with me is one that I think we carry this, called Brainwashing, a Synthesis of a Russian Textbook on Psychopolitics, or Mind Control. That's what psychopolitics is all about. And as you read this, you'll find that it was a communist tactic that in the art of capturing the minds of a nation, or to have thought control over a nation, what you had to do, if you ever had anyone oppose you, was first of all, discredit them. Don't deal with the facts, he said. Just discredit them. Call them names. Do whatever you have to. How would you like to be called a thick-headed buffoon racist? Not me, boy. I'm not saying anything bad. But this is what he said also in this lecture. He said, should anyone attempt to expose psychotherapy as a psychopolitical activity, that the best defense is calling into question the sanity of the attacker. Man, he's insane, man. Can you imagine that? He had the audacity to even question Martin Luther King Holiday. Get the paddy wagon, get the cookie truck, and haul him away. That's what they say. He goes on, it says, an immediate attack upon the sanity of the attacker before any possible hearing can take place is the very best defense. Did you hear it? Well, anyway, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? If maybe there's something wrong with our media today. One man said, you can always tell when a reporter's lying. Just look to see if his lips are moving. I don't know. One congressman said that if the passage in the Senate had been by a secret ballot, it would not have received 20 votes as far as the Martin Luther King Holiday. But since it wasn't secret ballot, you know, it was a public ballot, who wants to be attacked by the media? And so it got passed, according to this one man. I don't know. I'm not going to say anything bad about Martin Luther King, but I do think it might be my responsibility to report to you the other side of the story. After all, Americans, don't we at least have the right to voice an opinion on the other side? Pretty good audience. Everyone's shaking their head no. Yeah, you're right. Anymore, it doesn't seem like you have the right. There are certain taboos that you never question in our society. And I say, what about those men who spilled their blood and their guts on the beaches, on the battlefields, so that America could at least have freedom of speech? So for their sake, maybe we ought to at least look and see what some other people have said about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. One lady said that he was a communist and the worst enemy that the blacks have ever had. Man, probably some idiot woman that doesn't know what she's talking about, that's just blown off steam. She doesn't know anything, someone might say. No, that's not the case. This particular lady had worked in counterintelligence for 9 years with the FBI. She was considered within the communist apparatus and the communist party at the time. So she seemed to know what she's talking about, that area. Well, she probably was a racist. You know, I guess communists, we don't have any more trouble with communists, do we? I don't hear much about communism or anything. I guess the big threat to America today are all these races, these white supremacists. Well, you know what's happened. The white supremacists took Southeast Asia. They took China. Man, they're everywhere. Three or four of them under every rock. White supremacists. That's the big danger today, we're told. Communism is something old-fashioned. They must have all disappeared. Well, this lady was not a white supremacist. She was a black lady. Her name was Mrs. Julia Brown. And Mrs. Julia Brown, as I said, worked for 9 years in counterintelligence, and she claimed that Dr. Martin Luther King was one of the worst enemies. This is what she said. Mr. King, quote, "Mr. King was one of the worst enemies my people ever had. I know that it is considered poor taste to speak ill of the dead, but when someone served the enemies of our country while alive, and his name is still used by his comrades to promote anti-American activities, shouldn't people who know the truth speak out? I learned many surprising things while I served in the Communist Party for the FBI. Communist leaders told us about the demonstrations that would be started, the protest marches, the demands that would be made for massive federal intervention. Every communist was ordered to help convince American Negroes that we are no better off than slaves. Wherever we went and whatever we did, we were to promote race consciousness and resentment because the communists knew that the technique of divide and conquer really works. We were also told to promote Martin Luther King, to unite Negroes and whites behind him, and to turn him into some kind of national hero. We were to look to King as our leader in this struggle, the communists said, because he was on our side. I know they were right because while I was in the Communist Party, I learned that Martin Luther King attended a communist training school. I learned that several of his aides and assistants were communists, that he received funds from communists, and that he was taking directions from communists. Most Americans never look at the communist press in this country. If they did, they would learn that I left off the rest of the quotes there. But anyway, that was Julia Brown, a black woman who worked as an undercover agent for the FBI for several years. And that's what she had to say about Dr. Martin Luther King. Most people just know the facts about King. Well, some of the facts they don't even know. His real name was not Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His real name was Michael King. His father was a Baptist preacher who one day decided to take on the name in honor of the great reformer Martin Luther. So he took on the name Martin Luther King, and then he named his son Martin Luther King Jr. This was never a legal name, by the way. It was never put in the courts or anything. It was just taken. At the age of 15, Dr. Martin Luther King, or Michael King, whichever way you want to look at it, attended the liberal school of Morehouse College in Atlanta. And there he toyed with the idea of becoming a doctor or a lawyer. But he started reading Henry Thoreau, some of the research I've done. Henry Thoreau and his essay on civil disobedience, and he became very fascinated with that. And also he loved Gandhi. He loved the writings of Gandhi. And in 1963, the December 20th National Observer said this. They reported that King was saying that the Bible was full of legends and myths. And he declared that at Morehouse, the shackles of fundamentalism were removed. Now, in one book I read, it pointed out that there's never been any public record or any way that we know that publicly Dr. Martin Luther King ever acknowledged Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, or that he ever repented of his sins or anything like that. No public record of that, they said. In the mid-50s, this man emerged as a great charismatic leader of the black community. And in 1957, he became the head of the new founded organization called the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. How many remember that? Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And of course, April 4th, 1968, he was murdered on the balcony of a hotel or motel in Memphis, Tennessee. Here is another quote by someone who said they call him Martin Luther King. What was this? Another white supremacist? No. It was a Negro congressman by the name of Adam Clayton Powell. And he was calling him that because Martin Luther King, as he said it, was always supposedly promoting peace, but always had the riots following him, etc. Now, I pointed out to you that Helms had the 6,500 pages of information from the FBI. That's not all the film, all the information that the FBI have on this man. They have 14 file cabinets in regards to Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, I'll tell you something. In all fairness to Dr. Martin Luther King, understand that the FBI of this country aren't lily white themselves. Ooh, scratch that out. That won't go on the radio, I'll guarantee you. That the FBI themselves are not all that clean. Some people call them thought police today. But that, besides that, you know, we've got our hands full here. We won't talk
about
the FBI.
That's about it, really. Mountain Dew, smell of nothing you can't handle.
The FBI had the 14 file cabinets full, but these files were sealed by a federal judge, and they can't be looked at until the year 2027. They sealed them. Now, isn't that interesting? Remember, all these so-called great promoters of truth and free speech, we call them reporters, you know, you'd think they'd be crying like gut-shot panthers about this, you know. People have a right to know. You know, after all, they thought we had the right to know, they hear every profanity that Nixon ever uttered. But you didn't hear a word from the media, did you? They weren't screaming. Nobody's complaining about the files being sealed up until 2027. Turn over to the Gospel of John. Correction, 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. And notice with me, verse 19 and 20. Let's make that a correction. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, I hope. The Gospel of John, the third chapter, verse 19 and 20. Seems like these two scriptures are very fitting in light of the fact that the feds have decided we shouldn't see the files in regards to Dr. Martin Luther King. This is what it says, quote, "And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Men that do evil, it's saying here, don't want the light of investigation, lest their deeds are exposed. Well, there won't be any light shining in those files, those 14 file cabinets, until the year 2027, if we're still around as a nation. A professor, David Garl, who authored the 1981 book entitled The FBI and Martin Luther King Jr., said that the reason the FBI had so much information and thought they were justified in accumulating information on Dr. Martin Luther King, and having wiretaps and informants, etc., that it was because of four reasons. Quote, embezzlement, employing prostitutes, alienating wives, affections from their husbands, and violation of the Mann Act. In addition, they also pointed out the numerous communist ties. Now, I want you to know, I didn't say that. This man wrote the book, and he's pro. Martin Luther King holiday, too, by the way. The communist connection. We must not forget that we were told many times over that the communists were quite involved in the race riots and in the racial issues of the 50s and the 60s. This is what J. Edgar Hoover said in a speech. He said, quote, "We do know that communist influence does exist in the Negro movement, and it is this influence which is vitally important." He goes on to say that the Communist Party, quote, strives only to exploit what is often legitimate Negro complaints and grievances for the advancement of communist objectives. Racial incidences are magnified and dramatized by communists in an effort to generate racial tensions, end quote. Again, don't get angry at me. I'm just quoting a man that was once the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He said there's communist connections. Turn over to the first chapter of the book of Psalms. I'm going to show you a picture, but before I do, I thought maybe we ought to read this scripture. The first chapter of the book of Psalms, starting with verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. I thought I would read that before I showed you this particular picture. It's going to be very difficult to see. But here is a picture from the book entitled Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth by Des Griffin. And here you have a picture of Martin Luther King at a communist training school. This is what it says underneath the caption. The above picture was taken by an employee of the state of Georgia at the Highlander Folk School during the Labor Day weekend of 1958. The photograph was sent to the Highlander Folk School by the Georgia Commission on Education. The Highlander Folk School was abolished by an act of the legislature of the state of Tennessee at a later date. It was charged with being a subversive organization. Those numbered in the picture are 1. Martin Luther King, 2. Abner W. Berry, a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party, 3. Audrey Williams, and 4. Miles Horton, director of Highland Folk School for Communist Training. And yet it says here that the blessed man is the one that does not sit in the seat of the scoffers or walk in the counsel of the wicked. And it seems that we are told continually about the affiliations that Martin Luther King Jr. had with the communist movement. In fact, JFK took a walk in the Rose Garden, it is reported, with Martin Luther King and told him that all of his aides were communists. And it was his brother, Robert Kennedy, who instigated the investigation on Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, the Southern Christian Leadership Southern Christian Leadership Conference, right? Just seems you're trying to pay attention there. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference was investigated by the Joint Legislative Committee on Un-American Activities for the state of Louisiana, and it concluded in a 3-part report that the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, headed by Martin Luther King, was substantially under the control of the Communist Party. That's what they said, quote, substantially under the control of the Communist Party. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference was the brainchild of 2 New Yorkers. 1, a man by the name of Stanley D. Levison. He was a Jewish lawyer. And another man by the name of Bayard Rustin. Now, Stanley Levison was identified by the FBI as a member of the Executive Committee of the Communist Party, USA. Andrew Young, who was a friend of Dr. Martin Luther King, and also the presidential appointment during the Carter administration to the United Nations, he said that Levison was, quote, one of the closest friends Martin Luther King ever had, end quote. Levison provided the legal expertise and arranged the fundings for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He had close ties to the Russian spy by the name of a name that I can never pronounce these Russian names. Viktor Lizovsky. Does that sound like a Russian name? Good enough. They'll never know. Nobody else ever know. I don't know why I've been carrying on. Yeah, that's what it was, definitely. Lizovsky. And this is what it says here in the particular book that I've been using, one of several books, by the way. It says that Levison had close ties to Russian spy Viktor Lizovsky, reported in 1981 by the late Congressman John Ashbrook of Ohio, a longtime ranking member of the House Committee on Internal Security. Lizovsky was, until recently, the personal assistant to the Secretary General of the United Nations, and is one of the highest-ranking KGB officers ever to serve in the United States. His relationship with Leveson shows that the advisor to King remained under KGB control even after leaving the Communist Party financial apparatus. Now, this comes from the Conservative Digest, an article by William P. Hoare. Bayard Rustin was an avowed homosexual and communist. He was the other man involved in forming the SCLC, and he drew up plans for the organization designed to coordinate civil rights activities in the South. Now, y'all remember Grandma's old adage, I'm sure, that birds of a feather flock together. And, you know, that's somewhat scriptural. The Bible talks in regards to the worthless men that would gather together and plot, etc. Ted, you want to know why I lose things? I've lost a book right here at the pulpit. Did someone sneak up here and take it? Isn't that something? Got it. Birds of a feather flock together. Now, here are some of King's advisors. This comes from the book, Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth. Hunter Pitts Odell. Now, Odell was a member of the National Committee of the Communist Party. And this man went to work for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference late in 1960 as Dr. King's staff consultant. Here's another one. Well, we talked about Bayard Rustin being a communist and an avowed homosexual. He was the organizer, recruiter, and fundraiser for the Young Communist League and served 28 months in prison during World War II for refusing to do work required of those who were conscientious objectors. Fred Shuttleworth. He was a longtime field secretary of King's, and he was with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He was the president of that organization, he was the president of the Southern Conference Educational Fund. This group was thoroughly investigated by the committee of both the House and the Senate and repeatedly found to have major communist operations. On November 26, 1963, Shuttleworth was one of two honored guests at the 15th anniversary of the National Guardian, described by a congressional committee as a, quote, virtual official propaganda arm of Soviet Russia, end quote. This is what King said of Shuttleworth. He said, quote, Reverend Shuttleworth is my principal aide. Why, he gave me my start and he advised me from the very start. I depend on him, end quote. Here's one, James Drabonsky. He was a close friend and advisor of Mr. King, and according to Senator James Eastland, Democrat of Mississippi, quote, he is registered under the Foreign Agents Registration Act as an agent of Fidel Castro, end quote. Birds of a feather, remember, flock together. Carl and Ann Braden, another questionable couple. Audrey Williams was the president of the SCEF until 1963. In 1945, the U.S. Senate rejected his appointment to a government post because of his affiliation with the communist apparatus. In 1954, Williams was identified under oath as a member of the Communist Party by two witnesses. 2 years later, in 1957, King was photographed with Williams, Horton, Abner Berry, a member of the Central Committee on the Communist Party, and other comrades at a communist training school. King referred to Williams as, quote, one of the noblest personalities of our time, end quote. How about Ralph David Abernathy, Martin Luther King's top aide at the time of the Montgomery bus boycott? In 1958, the case of Alabama versus Davison, there is sworn testimony that this man committed deviant sex acts with a 15-year-old girl who sang in the choir of his church, end quote. That brings us to a whole other category. Let's leave this thing of being affiliated with communist fronts, etc. I think there were something like over 60 communist fronts that he had been affiliated with. Because after all, I guess it's not any worry anymore, the communists anyway. Well, we're making peace treaties with them, and man, we're hugging them, kissing them. And they've changed, you know. They don't want to take us anymore. They just want to be our friends. And if you believe that, I'd like to sell you a bridge in Brooklyn real cheap. Well, being a communist is not so bad, but how about being a sexual pervert? I guess that's not so bad anymore. Not as bad as being a white supremacist, I know that. But there were a lot of sexual perversions in the history of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At least it's reported. I'm not saying that, but that has been reported. Hoover said this. That was J. Edgar Hoover. This is what he said regarding Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, quote, he was, quote, a tomcat with obsessive degenerate sexual urges, end quote. That was the head of the FBI at one time. He said that. Again, I did not say that. The biographer, David Garl, that I told you about, that wrote the book, he wrote that King was, quote, in compulsive sexual athleticism, whatever that is, end quote. So, these are men that seem to know. William Rutherford, a black Chicago native and European businessman who served briefly as the executive director of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, he said, quote, I was really rather surprised and shocked at what I saw. SCLC was a very rowdy place, and the movement altogether was a very raunchy exercise, end quote. At an executive staff session, when Rutherford raised the subject of widespread sexual promiscuity within the ranks, the meeting cracked up in laughter, end quote. It says King was laughing too, a further reflection of FCLC's very relaxed attitude towards sex and et cetera. King said this in regards, you talk about sexual perversion, most people don't think of this as sexual perversion, but you might consider this. In regards to interracial marriage, King said this. The New York Post in July 1st, 1958 interviewed him, and he is quoted as saying, quote, I'm sure that integration will lead to interracial marriage, end quote. Now, William Z. Foster, the head of the Communist Party in the 40s, stated in his book, Towards a Soviet America, the following words, quote, the American Soviet will, of course, abolish all restrictions upon racial intermarriage. The revolution will only hasten this process of integration already proceeding throughout the world with increasing temp, end quote. That's just sort of thrown in there for free. Well, in conclusion, Dr. Martin Luther King has had some very interesting things written about him. He's had a very interesting career, which ended suddenly in 1968. Some people say, well, it was a move that stopped this great movement. Others say it was a move to increase the movement because he was losing his effectiveness and someone, like a communist, needed a martyr. Now, those are the two sides of the coin. In regards to his assassination, I'd like to have you turn to Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Proverbs chapter 6. Starting with verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a false mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signal with his feet, who point with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart devise evil continually, who spread strife. Therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly he will be broken, and there will be no more healing. End quote. Now I wonder if maybe that particular scripture isn't apropos in relation to the assassination of Martin Luther King. I think I have a little more time. I will share page 31 of the book entitled Martin Luther King, The Man Behind the Myth. It says, quote, 14 file cabinets full of eavesdropping data were obtained by the FBI in its electronic surveillance of King and the SCLC. Only a minute portion of this data, 65,000 heavily censored pages, was released to the Senate under the Freedom of Information Act. The rest, according to one official familiar with the data, is labeled obscene. The sealed inventory of the FBI files of Martin Luther King and the SCLC is 845 pages in length. Among the graphic and raunchy details of King's personal life that emerged were the following. He organized wild interracial sex orgies, which included acts of perversion. Washington's Willard Hotel was the scene of one such orgy. There King forced white women, and etc. I won't read the rest here. In Las Vegas, King's aides paid prostitutes $100 each to join him in orgies. In New York, the drunken black leader threatened a young white civil rights worker. And I won't go into details there. One Las Vegas prostitute complained to the FBI about the violence to which she had been personally subjected by the Reverend Martin Luther King, end quote. So, there are some questions in regards to this man. In light of all of this, I have to say that I respect him more than I do most people that'll hear this radio broadcast. At least he was trying to do something, wasn't he? You know, at least he was a man that believed in something and did something with his life. I respect him more than I do the average preacher that sits up behind the pulpit in four walls of a church building to save souls for Jesus while their nation goes to hell in a handbasket. I respect him more than I do those souls out there that say, well, boy, that pastor really preaches it like it is. I respect him more than them because they don't do anything. They don't support you. They'll let you put your own life on the line. At least this man was doing something. You know, in many ways, a good, healthy communist is far more respectable than a lukewarm, apathetic, do-nothing Christian. Amen? Didn't Jesus say, I would that you were hot or cold? At least they're cold. You ever get them converted and you got something. I had a man come to me or call me this recent event that took place with the Dr. Martin Luther King Day. You know, we fly the flag at this church. In fact, we are probably one of the few churches in the state that pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America before we preach a sermon. And we fly a flag outside the building, but I didn't know how to fly the flag on Dr. Martin Luther King National Holiday. If you put it at half mass, that's showing respect for someone that perhaps shouldn't be respected. I honored the flag too much to not do something, and I suddenly realized that we could fly the flag upside down. That's an international distress signal. And I thought perhaps maybe that would be appropriate. So we put the flag upside down because we honor our flag. One man called up and said, are you the church over there at such and such place? I said, yeah. And he says, do you know that your flag is upside down? I said, yeah. He wanted to know why it was upside down, so I explained to him. And he started telling me, I want you to know, I fought in Vietnam for that flag. I said, listen, buddy, we got plenty of people in our congregation that fought and bled in Vietnam. You fought the communists. I would think you would be interested in knowing that this man seems to have many major communist affiliations. And he said to me, he says, I don't think that Congress would have made a national holiday if he had those kind of affiliations. He says, I think you're a white supremacist church. And I said, and I think you're an idiot. And I hung up on him. Why did I say that? Turn over to Isaiah, the 5th chapter. And he probably wasn't an idiot. I probably had the wrong choice of words. He was just an ignoramus. The Bible says in verse 13 of Isaiah 5, therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. Just like Hosea said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Notice in verse 20, whoa! I want to put the emphasis there. And that's not trying to stop a horse either. That's W-O-E. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I say that for the sake of those gas bank politicians that didn't have the guts to stand up like it was. And I want you to know, whoever you might be who hear this and fall in that category, God said, woe to you, You might not hear any other preachers preaching this, but I want to tell you it's in the Word of God. Woe when you call good evil and evil good. Woe when you take Thomas Jefferson or George Washington and make them to be a bunch of whoremongers, and then you take a man like Martin Luther King, who's got a track record that would make I can't say anything bad, so I'm not going to say it. And then you make him right. Isn't that what it's saying? And I say we're idiots to say, well, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't pass a law, you know, if it was that way. Look at verse 23. Still the same woe. Woe who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. What's it saying there? Woe to those who would justify the wicked for what? A bribe, a vote, a campaign contribution. The gutless wonders we have for politicians. I'm telling you, someday, not only will reporters answer to God, but so will these politicians that have been selling our nation down the drain. Isaiah, the fifth chapter, tells, or the second chapter, Isaiah, the first chapter, tells us of a nation called the Faithful City that would someday be full of murderers and wicked men. Notice what it says in Isaiah 1, verse 21. How the wicked, faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Going on down to verse 23. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chase after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. This is describing that nation in Scripture, and our nation fits it to a T. But the good news is in verse 27. Zion will be redeemed with justice, and her repentant ones with righteousness. But transgressors and sinners will be crushed together, and those who forsake the Lord shall come to an end. Those are comforting words in light of Dr. Martin Luther King National Holiday. I've never preached on this subject, and I probably never will again. I might not ever preach again on the radio. I don't know. But I felt like it was a message that needed to be preached. Let's stand, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we look to you to open doors, to open the eyes and the ears and the hearts of our people. Help them to see and understand and get off their rears and begin to be faithful to their God, and not to take the inheritance that you've given us and just waste it, throw it away, and let it be stolen from us. God, help us, because we need help greatly. I pray for your blessings on this message wherever it might go. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7-days-a-week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be riding back this way next week and hopes you will too.